You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Got a couple things we want to get into here in just a second. John Granato out, Dell's in with me today, Tyler's in. So, boys, the NFL salary cap looks like it's going to go down by about $18 million. It's going to go to, $180 million, I think. So, you set up your cap, you set up your team, your structure, your salary, based on expected cap bumps. That's what happens every year. NFL makes money. Contracts are set up with the expressly to represent cap bumps in many cases. It really depends on how you set your contract up based on, you know, what your cap is going to look like in future years. But the underlying premise is that the cap is going to go up. We just had COVID, and there's a chance we might not see stands at 100% in the fall. If that is the case, there will be more money that is more revenue that is lost that will also affect the salary cap the year after. This is a situation where the NFL, there is no leniency on this. This is the money. This is the collectively bargained agreement. The cap has been set for next year, and teams who are over are now really over the cap. The New Orleans Saints, for example, are one of them that are so far over the cap. Well, that means that there's going to have to be some major restructuring, which could take place where players get money in future years, or they get guaranteed money, you know, based on just a signed check, a signing bonus. But I think what could also happen is that there are going to be some decent players who end up getting cut. There's going to be some decent football players on some teams, some even average players who are going to end up getting cut. And that's a big deal for the Texans because their roster's so booty that there could be any number of players. You could end up benefiting with at least two new starters potentially, as many as two. I wouldn't say more than that. But you might find as many as two new starters who ended up becoming cap casualties because teams had to get under the upcoming salary cap. Now, remember, you can't just like cut a Whitney Merciless. That actually adds to your cap. That adds $3 million to your cap. That's why I would say Whitney Merciless is going to be here again next year. You're already over the cap currently. Now, when JJ is gone, and I assume that's going to happen, that will certainly help. But if you trade Deshaun Watson, guys, that's $22 million. Think about this. It's something we haven't really talked about. Deshaun Watson being traded cost the Texans $22 million. It cost them $27 million they already gave him in signing bonus, that he'll get $27 million, and the Texans don't get anything for it. It's just a free $27 million bag that he found on the side of the road. And then they also get hit with a $22 million cap hit. Well, that $22 million cap hit on top of what's already coming, that's $40 million that they have to make up. Subtract JJ, and you're still at over $20 million. That would, you know, you're still a minus $20 million just for the minus cap number that you ended up getting this year because of COVID, Deshaun Watson's trade cap hit, and then, you know, and then take away JJ's savings from his base salary, you still are like $20 million plus over based on just those moves. So this is, even for the Texans, this is a tricky thing. The Deshaun thing, I don't think this is getting enough play. The $27 million cash they gave him, on top of the $22 million cap hit the team will get that will limit their ability to maneuver around, this is a major, major drawback for the team. I know the team's not talking about it, but I'm kind of curious if this is one of the reasons why the Texans have been so adamant. You know, they may say, look, we can do it next year. We can trade Deshaun next year. There's still plenty of years in this contract, so we think he has value. But we're not doing it this year. We're going to take this big a hit. That might actually be the case where the Texans just say, we're not taking what amounts to a $50 million hit by moving Deshaun Watson. We're not doing it. And they're going to take the signing bonus hit anyway if they trade him. But no one's really talking about that. And also the ability to get better for teams who have cap space, the ability to get better through salary cap cuts that are necessitated because of COVID, that could be play a big part in a team like the Colts, who have a bunch of money, picking up better players in the secondary, for example.
Besides Deshaun having some revelation that it's good to be here and play,
ooh,
what would be the optimal thing for the Texans to have him to play him for a year and have him clearly be upset and trade him, or to get something done immediately? Because I'm including all aspects of what you just laid out. The money that it'll cost to get rid of him. You have to consider the teams who be willing to give up picks for him and possible starting players now. What's the best outcome outside of the dream outcome of him wanting to be here?
Well, I mean,
getting
best,
it done, even the, with the money outcome, that is going to cost.
The best outcome, can I include trade?
Yes, of course.
Oh, well, the best outcome is a mega trade.
Current, like this season, even though it'll cost them quite a bit.
And so I've got an agent, hopefully, who's calling in here, who's listening. I guess NFL teams are hoping to finalize frameworks of their next TV deal before setting the 2021 salary cap. So I think there is a hope that that might be a soft, that is currently what's at stake, but that maybe the next TV deal will help assuage some of those issues. I would argue that at some point your TV deal, you know, we saw some massive streaming numbers for the Super Bowl this year. Massive streaming numbers for the Super Bowl. It's up 65%. This is the new way to consume. As long as the NFL can monetize streaming, and I think they have with Sunday Ticket, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. Look, CBS has their own platform. Fox has their own platform. As long as you have that, I think the NFL is good. But if they don't get the salary cap taken care of, if they're not able to, and the NFL owners are not just going to say, oh, we'll just let this pass. They've got to have money coming in for them to, and that would mean the TV deal. Hopefully we'll have an agent call in and kind of explain this if there's something else going on. Because I know this, getting under that cap is going to be a challenge for a lot of teams. A lot of teams.
Well, you believe A.J. Bouye was, his cut by the Broncos was a result of this? Or that's just something normal that would have happened no matter what?
It could be just normal was going to happen. Everyone has the Broncos going cornerback at 9 in mock drafts for the most part. And I think that's whether A.J. Bouye was there or not. But to me, I think that's just a chance to get away from a deal that they just think is not a great deal.
Well, he also was suspended, like Will Fuller was, for dealing with the same doctor.
And what we've heard is they went to the same doctor who we've heard there's pretty good source that it was a legitimate, like, they did not know. This is a guy doing some stuff that it wouldn't shock me if there's some lawsuits to come about. I'll just put it that way. But, A.J. Bouye is people talk about the Texans getting A.J. Bouye back. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have a problem with it.
It only cost them a fourth-round pick to make the trade, so it wasn't like it wasn't like it cost them a bit. Now they're already getting away from it. So the fourth-round pick, 2020 fourth-round pick, they took a shot.
You mean for Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were taking on a pretty good contract.
Yeah, took a shot, didn't work, and it only cost them a fourth.
So. And if I'm the Texans, I 100% am looking at that. I think Jeff is on right now. Does that say...
It says Manny.
That's Manny, not Jeff.
Is it Manny or Nally?
No, I feel like...
We sure? Let's check.
It's Manny.
That's Manny, yeah.
Not...
Oh, okay. It says Nally. Questions, yeah.
Question about...
Hey, Sean. Morning, gentlemen.
How you doing, Manny?
Good. Hey, good job laying all that out, Lance, because like you said, that is not being talked about as far as the cap hit and how much money the Texans will lose. But let me ask you a question. Can you add to that, at what point, if Deshaun doesn't report, do the Texans start getting their money back from Deshaun?
Man, that's a good question. That requires somebody who's involved with that. That's another question an agent could ask. I don't know. From what I understand, they could start fining immediately. Okay, so get money back. They can start fining him for his absence from mandatory team events. As far as going after the salary, the signing bonus, I don't know. That's a question hopefully my agent friend who's listening can text, because I don't know when they would officially, once you do that, that's a pretty serious step. So I don't know if there's a time frame where the team decides to do it, because the team has to make that decision.
But isn't it only like $50,000 in any, if he holds out of like any preseason activities?
I tell you what, we'll have Jeff Nally call in from Select Sports Group. Jeff's going to call in at 8:30, and we'll talk about the Deshaun Watson situation in terms of, it's not his client, so obviously he has to be careful with, but we'll talk about the structure of how this works, what the salary cap could look like for the Texans and other NFL teams, as well as, and maybe more importantly, how does it work if a team decides to go after a signing bonus, if a player decides to sit out, because that could play a big part in how Deshaun's team decides to move forward with how they handle the offseason. That's going to be really important. It's 8:13 right now here on the bench, and I want to tell you about Generator Supercenter. Generator Supercenter is a company that handles exactly what you think, generators. What does a generator do? Well, generator is what is your backup plan. If your electricity goes out at any point, the generator comes on and brings your energy back on. That includes for your freezer, your refrigerator, your air conditioner, your heater, whatever the case may be. You know, we talk about hurricanes, because we have hurricanes knock out power for longer than you like. Certainly a blown transformer could end up being an all-day event, if not more in rare cases. But we're about to have weather that is going to be in the 20s and even into the teens, 18 degrees expected on Monday. So think about this for a second. If you lose your power there, your home is going to be freezing cold. Do you have a generator from Generator Supercenter? Why don't you look into getting the Generac automatic standby generator? Generator Supercenter, that's the nation's number one Generac generator dealer. They have free estimates available. They have financing so that you can get low monthly payments, and you can have a peace of mind like you've never had before. A generator that will keep your energy on, your power on at all times. Call 281-377-9774. It's 281-377-9774. That's Generator Supercenter. The time has come to make things right. You and I must fight for our right. ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm neither John or Lance, nor Lance. Lance is in the middle of making business calls and decisions about food.
Yeah,
so he's trying to get food up here.
I'm trying to get the hustle up for us to get our food. And my guy Jason over at Tom and Tom's isn't there. That's tough.
That's a rough one.
I go in and get food. It's good to have a place downstairs we can just go get something. Shout out to the chicken sandwich.
Dude, whenever that conservatory gets built out, it's game over.
You see how much stuff they're doing? It used to be the Roxy. It's going to turn into a food conservatory if you've ever been to the Roxy. That's where our building is. And there's a hidden omakase.
On the other side of Tom and Tom's is going to be Burger Chan.
It's going to be on. Finally, I can gain some weight. It's about time. It's about time I was finally able to gain some weight during quarantine.
You know, someone said something very insulting. Not about me. About you.
They did?
Yesterday. I mean, in the sense that they compared you to someone here, and I was like, ooh, that's not nice.
Trey? No.
No. Someone goes, man, your buddy over there got some Josh Ennis vibes going on with that hoodie on. And I was like,
wow, with that hoodie on, why are people talking bad about hoodies?
It wasn't the hoodie thing.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man.
I consider it a compliment.
You do? Yeah. It wasn't a compliment.
Josh does an energetic show. Josh Fearless, thank you.
It wasn't about his show.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
I thought they're like, do you want to go tell him? I was like, why would I tell him?
Who is this person?
I'll tell you off the air.
Is it on Twitch?
No, I'll tell you off there. Okay. I'll tell you off there what happened. I caught myself going.
Is it our friend Raheel?
No, Raheel is very sensitive. Like, John would call him thick every other show, and he would be pissed. So, no, it wasn't Raheel. Don't worry about it. Raheel wouldn't say a thing like that. He's not hurtful like that.
Man, it's brutal. Just the quarantine's brutal. I already just sit on a chair all day. Yesterday, I was thinking, did I get in this chair more than twice to pee? That's like the most movement I have when I'm doing draft stuff. It's already an issue, but then I don't walk when I get home now like I used to.
Yeah.
So, I just get home, and I'm like, I just want to watch Dark. The show, the German show.
I put you on it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, man, now I'm so deep in it, I just have to stay on it. It's all, you got to focus because you have to have subtitles on. It's in German, unless you know German. And then it's just a lot going on. You just have to focus. There's a lot going on.
I said when I told you about it, I'm telling people now, you cannot be a passive watcher of that show.
At all.
You have, it hurts you if you don't understand German, so you have to be reading. And there's
also like time travel.
Yeah. Multiple timelines, although they all converge.
Multiple characters who are the same person.
The younger self, older self.
And they're all German names, so there's Tiedemanns.
Yeah, they're all connected.
And there's like, wait, which family is this?
Like legit.
Who's Helga?
Like legit, out of two people, the entire, you'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm done talking about it. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone. But it's a show that if you want to devote time, and it's one of those shows where you go to Reddit for answers. If you like those type of shows.
Oh, I've already had
discussions.
You said it's subtitled or dubbed?
Subtitled. You can dub it if you like, but the initial, the original stuff is subtitled.
You know, I
don't
dub
do the
it.
Dub thing.
I dub it, and it's just like.
It's annoying. I don't like
it. It's just not good.
Yeah, I've watched a couple Spanish movies on Netflix that were dubbed, and it's just.
Why would you do those things?
It throws you off. Like, that's speaking of, I think, I want to say it's subtitled. There's a show on HBO. Have you watched it, 30 Coins?
No.
Have you heard of this?
No.
All right. Well,
there that goes.
Isn't it good?
Yeah. Supposedly, it's really good. It's about some priest. He's like exiled, and it's kind of it's a horror series. He's trying to keep evil in hell.
Hey, he's a exorcist, boxer, and ex-convict.
Yeah, there you go.
The father. I'm reading it up on Wiki right now.
I've seen guys like that on Instagram.
They're multifaceted.
Jesus Christ! That guy who does that feels like that's the guy.
I love
You've
that
seen
guy.
Him, right?
Yes.
Jesus Christ! Let's get La Raza in here. ¿Qué pasó, La Raza?
Hey, what's up, Lance?
How you doing?
Tylercito. Good morning. Hey. Long time caller, first time listener.
No,
that's not how it works.
That's
but okay.
Not at all how it works.
Hey, so gentlemen, I had a question actually. It had to do with the Super Bowl outcome, and I'll make it quick. Do you think? I know Patrick Mahomes didn't look like Patrick Mahomes, but do you feel like this might be like an Aaron Rodgers thing where he just wins one and then just loses and loses because now they found out how to actually contain Patrick Mahomes? When he outside the pocket and scrambles like 30 yards like Deshaun Watson does. I mean, could this be like, you know, a future scene? Like, you know, because I feel like they might have the Aaron Rodgers effect. Because Aaron Rodgers won one and everybody praises him. Like, you know, he's an MVP caliber quarterback for like all times and stuff. But he only won one Super Bowl. I mean, could this really happen to him? And, hey, don't forget, throw shade Thursday today, gentlemen. I'm out.
I don't see. Now, he could be chasing forever. Everyone thinks they're – everyone, when you have a young guy like that who – like Aaron Rodgers, like Peyton Manning, people thought Peyton Manning was going to play in a bunch of Super Bowls as well. I don't think they solved – I don't think they figured him out necessarily. It was a case where they had – now, Todd Bowles did a really good job on Tyreek Hill. But when you fundamentally can't protect on the left side and really, for that matter, on the right side, it's just hard. You know, it's just going to be hard to get it done. So I don't think this is the playbook for the future. Unless your playbook includes knocking out both their tackles.
Their tackles never being available. And the thing would be if you're siding with LaRosa possibly is that we've seen quarterbacks once they get paid how difficult it is to keep teams together. And that's why for whatever reason Seattle's. That talk about Russell Wilson being traded is now going to be a thing. And apparently Seattle's not thrilled with his interview with Dan Patrick. They didn't appreciate how open he was about his thoughts. So there's apparently a rift there right now. The only thing I would say is if you fundamentally believe the Chiefs can't overcome the cap hits that Mahomes' contract will inflict on their cap, then maybe you think a downturn is coming. But as far as game planning, no. I don't think you turn Mahomes into a bad to average player based off of what you saw Todd Bowles do.
No, and I think there are counters when it's blocked up. First of all, I just think Reed and Bieniemy had a bad game plan. First and foremost, if they had it to do all over again, I think they would. They were having some success on the ground. I think they would depend less on. Obviously, they just kept expecting something good to happen with Mahomes. He's had a bad game.
Yeah, if they
just being chased, and they became predictable.
And they didn't game plan for how poor their offensive line was going to play.
Which isn't that crazy though.
Yeah,
knowing that you know about offensive line play in the league, there's no place where you can be on your second team tackles
against and Barrett be okay. And Pierre Paul.
Exactly.
We can talk about adjustments, and certainly none of those weren't made, but the initial game plan was poor, and maybe if they had adjusted in practice for what was likely going to be a line that couldn't protect, things might have gone differently. But they went in with the plan, it didn't work, and as much as we like to talk about it, it's kind of hard in the midst of a Super Bowl to scrap what you thought would work and go to something else because you had a plan in place and it didn't work. So I think the initial, the biggest problem was they went in expecting their line to play better when they should have known that Pierre Paul and Barrett were going to cause problems for your starters if they are healthy. And that was going to be something you have to deal with. And then when you put your backups in and expect it to be the same, you overestimated your talent. And clearly,
I'm surprised that such good offensive minds really screwed that game plan up so bad. Like, you have to – I just assumed that we'd see more jet sweeps, more quick game, more quick passing to put Tampa Bay on their heels. Like, that's shocking to me that they would – that you would have a game plan that basically said, we're who we are, we do what we do. Dude, you better have some respect for Todd Bowles and that defensive front.
And we watched the screen game. They tried to get screens off, and because of David and Devin White, those things didn't get off.
Well,
they tried to run
speed,
some screens, but those guys ran around blockers and got to them. Their speed at the linebacker position ate up the Chiefs screen game too.
Yeah. No, that's actually a good point. And then you had some bad passes from Mahomes where he
was off.
He was just throwing it into the ground.
Yeah,
so
I just assume that I won't blame the toe because it didn't seem to be an issue in the previous game, but who knows whether
was
the toe
it on
was
a dry
healthy.
Foot or the plant foot? Do you know?
Don't remember what injury where that injury took place, but he's having surgery on the toe. That came down as breaking news earlier this week. So who knows what worked. I think it was a confluence of things that contributed to the loss: bad game planning, bad Mahomes, and the ability of Tampa to get after the pass rusher and eat up even the things that Kansas City wanted to do to mitigate, because those linebackers were dominant and coupled with the front four, and it was over.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that you get all the way to that situation with coaches who are that highly regarded, but even they have bad days. Pat Mahomes can have a bad day. I don't think they found any kind of magic dust that's going to stop Pat Mahomes, other than KC probably realizes, man, we need to focus on this offense.
Yeah,
we need to make sure we have better depth.
Drafting off the line depth, or maybe even upgrading your talent, will be a first step to mitigate.
Well, I think
some
that's
of that.
Something they're going to look to do for sure. Let's take a break right here. Jeff Nally from Select Sports Group is going to be joining us when we come back. We'll talk about the salary cap issue as it pertains to the Texans with their holdout quarterback. How does that work for agents? How does it work for the team? And also, what's going to happen with the salary cap this year in the NFL with COVID? Because it could mean that your Houston Texans are going to be in a position where it would be hard to move Deshaun Watson even if they wanted to. 8:29 right here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:32. Jeff Nally from Select Sports Group is going to be calling us here in just 1 second. We'll get him on to talk about this deal because it is a situation that's a little bit fluid here with the NFL salary cap, Deshaun Watson, et cetera, et cetera. What is apparently fluid as well, Dell, is the Dallas Mavericks' stance on the national anthem.
Yeah, if you missed it, and that might be Jeff calling in right now, so this might be quick. If you missed it, the Mavericks, who had not played the national anthem since the start of the year, that became a news story because someone noticed it. Now the NBA says, no, everyone will play the national anthem. And Mark Cuban had to come out yesterday and go, hey, this was an ever-changing thing. We hadn't made any formal final decision. So expect the national anthem to be played at Mavericks games going forward because the NBA had an edict that said everyone will do it.
That one's going to be, how much do you think the NBA just doesn't want to go down that?
They don't want any part of it. They've got enough issues as far as COVID and games being canceled and money, lack of money coming in because of lack of fans. They don't want to add another one. So they just made it, hey, play the national anthem. This is not a decision or a conversation we want to have right now.
And so far I haven't seen
much pushback other than like...
Well, because everyone's been playing it.
Yeah, except for the Mavericks. And no one had noticed it except for a reporter. And then things changed immediately.
Is that really what happened?
Who had talked about this since November? Until someone noticed it. Like, it wasn't a big story. It wasn't a story at all.
It hasn't been played?
That's what he said. We haven't played it since the start of the year. And that's how lack of... That's how you can tell it's not a big deal until someone made it a big deal.
Well, there's also no... But if you're on TV, if you don't have fans in the stands, it's going to be hard to tell.
Don't they have limited...
Have limited, but not very limited. But on TV, you don't see it anyway.
Yeah, the NBA said as long as when fans are in the building, the song will be played. Now I don't know if it means if you're not having fans in attendance, you don't have to play it because who else is it for? But yeah, the Mavs and the NBA have decided. Nah, it's gonna get played as long as fans are in the building. It'll get played.
Yeah, 8:34 here. Let's get Jeff Nally in. He's from Select Sports Group, longtime agent, and understands the comings and goings of the NFL and the different salary cap implications. Jeff, thanks for joining us here on the show, and thanks for listening, even though you're not even in the city anymore, listening on the app, I assume.
That is correct. What's going on, guys?
What's going on? So, and you're welcome for not having to do this when John is here. Okay. Now, question for you, first and foremost, what's currently going on with the NFL salary cap as you understand it? What we've heard is that there's going to be a projected drop of about $18 million and that will have 17 to 18 that will have to be made up by the teams. What's the latest in terms of the news on that?
You know, guys, here's what's amazing is, you know, we talk to general managers every day. We actually represent 4 GMs and 2 head coaches, and so we're constantly in contact with these guys, and they literally do not know. I talked to one GM on Friday who said, yeah, we're supposed to hear by March the 8th what the salary cap is going to be. And then I talked to another GM right after that, and he was like, I haven't heard that at all. You know, we're just hoping to know, you know, a few days ahead of time. So they really don't know, and that's why I sent you that report this morning about, you know, based on this new TV contract, they may try to adjust. Because here's the thing, the salary cap is not some static number. The NFLPA and the league office actually have to negotiate and come up with a number. I don't know if you remember years ago, the salary cap was supposed to go down, and I don't know if you remember the Redskins and the Cowboys were being, you know, they were being fined for, you know, what the league thought was in the spirit of the salary cap. They were, you know, they had violated that. So they negotiated a number which made the cap flat for that year, even though it was supposed to go down. So
yeah,
it is a negotiation between the two sides. That could happen. And I'm guessing that report that I sent you, that there's some of that going on.
Yeah, do you...
But bottom line, the answer is, yeah, we just don't know. We literally don't know, and we won't know until, you know, I would imagine until, you know, shortly before free agency.
But teams have to be making preparations. I mean, it's you can't be taken off guard. You've got to have multiple contingency plans in place. Do you think this could lead to a situation where there are a variety of cuts that we would not have seen previously?
I would think I would think so. You know, the second GM that I talked to on Friday, his thought was, if the cap goes down this year, I can deal with that. I need to have an idea of what it's going to be the next year. Because they can basically, matter of fact, if you look at the Saints, Drew Brees just dropped his salary from, to minimum, and then they're going to split the dead cap space between this year and next year. Like, that's a huge win for the Saints right there. So teams are maneuvering like that. I had a GM call me yesterday and say, hey, we have a starting player for an NFC team. They're going to convert. They're going to take his salary, his base salary for this year, which is around $10 million, reduce it to minimum, and then, put the rest in signing bonus so they can spread it out. So teams are preparing for that right now. And basically they're preparing for a worst-case scenario, which is about $180 million, which, like you said, would be $18 million less than this past year. That's kind of a contingency plan, and then they're just hoping that it'll be higher than that and that they can adjust accordingly.
Jeff, when you the information you sent to Lance prompted a discussion about Deshaun Watson and the money, his money, and what it would mean for the Texans to trade him and how much it would cost, and even the thought of how much money he loses if he decides he's going to sit out mandated events. Talking to people that has there ever been a time where a player of his caliber has been so steadfast in his distrust of the organization that the thought of sitting out a year has been floated? Because we know about guys who decide they don't want to play because they don't think the money is right. Deshaun Watson and his money is not in question. He doesn't believe in this organization. Have we heard about, has this thing ever been a thing where a guy goes, I don't believe in you enough to sit out a year?
I can't think of one. And it's when we're talking to, executives around the league and internally, we're always asking ourselves, has there ever been a quarterback or a player of this caliber to ever be in this situation, period? And I think the answer is no. We haven't been able to come up with anyone. Dale, you just pointed out something that's interesting, too. Like Le'Veon Bell, for example. Some people have tried to compare this to the Le'Veon Bell situation. And like you said, Dale, Le'Veon wasn't happy with the money. That's why he sat out. Deshaun already has his contract done. He actually got an excellent contract in a lot of aspects better than Mahomes' deal. But you're right. It's not about the money. It's just simply about his dissatisfaction with the organization, which I think is unfortunate because, look, Deshaun is a great guy. I mean, some of these guys who have forced their way out of other teams, they've had major character issues, and Deshaun has none. So it really is unfortunate. I tell it one thing, too, and I know y'all have talked, like Nick Caserio has kind of gotten lost in this whole thing. We've known Nick forever. And I'll tell you what, he really is a good guy. And, he's a smart guy. He's a good guy. He's a no-nonsense guy, no games at all, just very, very upfront about everything and very humble. So it's unfortunate. I wish the two of those guys, I wish, Nick and Deshaun could talk because I think Deshaun would really like him. But it is unfortunate because, again, it's not about the money. It's about all this other nonsense.
What about, I think that's the real key here, Jeff, is that and I'm not going to ask you what you would do if you had a client, but it is if a quarterback wants to get something done, even if it means leaving a team, you got to start answering phone calls and texts from the team. And I haven't heard anything new. Maybe there is some conversation going on now. I'm just working off of what it previously had been. But to me, the interesting thing, and I want to know from an agent standpoint, is this considered a point of no return thing where it gets to the point where the team starts to look to take back the signing bonus? How does that work with the Houston Texans? They gave Deshaun Watson a signing bonus of $27 million, and now for a deal that he may never even play a game under that contract. How does that work?
Right. So we're under a new collective bargaining agreement. This is really the first year of it. It's a new 10-year deal, and one of the focuses of the NFL in this new CBA is to make it almost impossible for players to hold out. So it's very punitive. There's a complex formula that determines, based on, if a player doesn't show up for training camp and then how many days he misses in preseason games and then regular season games, there's a formula in which the player has to forfeit that money back. There's also a fine schedule as well. Like it's very punitive. So I'm just hoping that it doesn't get to that. But I understand. Look, I understand both sides. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that's that's unfortunate is, and matter of fact, you're hearing like Russell Wilson this week. He's saying he'd like to be more involved in personnel. Like we've represented a lot of quarterbacks and still do. And it's never talked about, but behind the scenes, the GM will call me or the head coach will call the quarterback in and say, hey, what do you think? What do we need on offense to be successful next year? That happens all the time. One thing that does not happen is, in Green Bay, when they were, they got rid of McCarthy, who was Aaron Rodgers' guy, they didn't call Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, who do you want the next coach to be, the head coach to be? Matter of fact, Aaron Rodgers was somewhat upset that they hired LaFleur. But that's just, that's part of being an employee of a team. And again, this is coming from someone who, we represent players. That's what we do. But I just don't think it was handled. I just don't think it was handled very well. I understand, because I know the same promise was made to J.J. Watt. Hey, we want to talk to you after the season, get your input. It's like you always want your top players' input, but from the team standpoint, you also don't let the players pick the head coach. Or, matter of fact, someone was talking about it yesterday. Russell Wilson was saying he wants to be more involved in personnel. Well, he's the leader of the locker room, and all the players are supposed to trust him. What if the players all of a sudden think, hey, he just got that guy cut, or he just got that guy traded. Now, all of a sudden, the team starts losing trust in the quarterback if he's that involved. So it really is a fine line, and I just wish it would have been handled better by the Texans. If it had been, I don't think we'd be in the situation right now.
Yeah, I think that's the question is, and like you said, it's not that unusual for them to reach out and make comments. I didn't think it, at least from what we heard, it didn't seem very unreasonable. But unfortunately, it just feels like a situation where one guy in the building circumvented the entire process, and we know who that was. It was Jack Easterby, for self-preservation purposes. And once that happened, all bets were off, and it led to the president resigning, which happened yesterday. Jamie Roots has resigned. He hasn't said publicly that's the reason why, but we've heard this is coming for quite some time. And your quarterback is unhappy. I mean, there's a reason we talk about Jack Easterby. You don't have to answer this, Jeff, but have you known about Jack Easterby? Or was this something that you just found out about him with the Texans? Like, have you known about him in the past?
So I've known about him. I've actually never met Jack. Okay. But I've known about him when he was, he was in Kansas City. I thought he was an employee of the Chiefs. I found out later he wasn't, but he was there when, the Javon Belcher, player suicide happened.
Oh yeah.
He was there in Kansas City when that happened. And then I know he went to, he went to New England after that when the Aaron Hernandez stuff was going on. So I was aware of that. Honestly, when I first really became aware of him was when he came to the Texans and signed a 5-year deal that averaged $1.2 million. Like, that's, everyone was like, wait, what? Just because he had been basically a team chaplain, character coach before, and that really sent shockwaves throughout the entire league. Like, again, you know how it is, Lance. Players talk about, money, and so do GMs and coaches, and so that was, everyone was shocked by that. And then I know since then he's even gotten a bigger raise. But I've talked to various people around the league, and people have different opinions. Y'all know I can't comment on it, but it's one of the, I've been doing this for 28 years. It's one of the strangest things I've ever seen. Just the whole, everything that's happened. And I do feel bad for all the people. I mean, just being around the Texans facilities, since they started, there have been some really, really nice people, and a lot of those people are gone now. And I think that's unfortunate.
The conversation when we talk about the Texans has been about, well, guys want to be here. When you hear about the quarterback not wanting to be here and the dysfunction that's being discussed nationally, and then the response is, well, as long as the money is right, players will want to play. Is that a real thing? As long as the money is on the table, whatever dysfunction is being talked about goes by the wayside?
Normally it is. Again, this, Dell, I think it's why you asked the question earlier, like, has this situation ever happened with a player, especially with a quarterback, because typically quarterbacks are, you know, from a character standpoint, they're incredibly loyal. They're team leaders. They always think, even if the team is, you know, like Andy Dalton's one of my clients. I mean, you know, even in Cincinnati when they were really bad, he always, you know, had hope that they were going to be great and win the Super Bowl, and his teammates thought, you know, he instilled that in his teammates. So this is, it's a very unusual situation. I don't think this is about, I mean, obviously this is not about money with Deshaun. So, I really don't know what's going to happen. I do know from talking to various, you know, I saw an Adam Schefter report that, and maybe it was Rappaport too, that when teams call about Deshaun, the Texans just say, you know, we're not discussing it. I've heard the same. I really don't know. I really hope he's back. I mean, that's, look, I grew up, had been in Houston my entire life, and the Texans are my team, and obviously I know the fans are going to revolt if he were to leave, regardless of what the, you know, what trade compensation there is. But in fact, I want to talk about that real quick too, the trade compensation. I think one thing that is kind of screwed, even if the Texans were willing to trade him, it's kind of screwed this whole thing up because, number one, Nick is a brand new GM. And Lance, I know you know Chris Ballard and various other people. When a GM first gets a job, they want to establish within the league that they're not a pushover.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to be a tough negotiator. They're not going to just give up a player for nothing. So you've got that dynamic. And then the Jared Goff thing, everyone is like, well, God, you know, if Matthew Stafford, if you can get two firsts and a third for him, then imagine what you get for Deshaun. Well, I really think that Stafford trade would have been a first and a third, and the Rams had to throw in an additional first because the Lions were going to eat Goff's salary. So I really don't think that deal, and honestly, that deal is probably screwing up the Carson Wentz trade right now as well, because it was more like the Brock Osweiler. You threw in a Brock Osweiler, hey, we'll give you a second round pick to take the $17 million salary. So bottom line is, what I'm trying to say is that Stafford deal is not apples to apples with a Deshaun Watson situation. It's just not. But I could see, you know, look, the Texans are going to be, you know, they're going to be concerned with what people, if they were to trade him, you know, what the compensation would be. And I don't know. It's just, I mean, as y'all know, and I listen to y'all every morning, it is a gigantic mess. I don't even know how to fix it. But I'll tell you, Mike Tannenbaum, I don't know if y'all have seen Mike Tannenbaum's comments on this. He said, if I was a GM, he said, I don't care where Deshaun Watson is. I am taking a private jet and I'm going to fly to wherever he is or whatever, and we're gonna have lunch or dinner or whatever it is. We're gonna sit down and find out what he wants and what he needs. And I think that's actually, you know, I actually think that's great. That's great advice, and that's what I would do if I was in their situation.
That's Jeff Nally from Select Sports Group. Just one quick one: did you try as hard as you could to get your clients to the Texans for a new contract when Bill O'Brien and Jack were handling the negotiations without a salary cap guy?
You know, I won't comment on that, but I will comment. There was a similar situation when Dan Snyder first became the owner of the Redskins, and there were some similar types of deals getting done. And I would talk to GMs and other agents, and they would say every morning they woke up hoping to see Daniel Snyder's name pop up on their cell phone. And
but yeah, felt similar situation. Thanks for joining us today, Jeff. We appreciate it, man.
Okay.
8:51 here on the bench. We're running a little, well, just combine some breaks, whatever the case may be. When we come back, we will we'll jump back on at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
It's big pimping, baby. Come on.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Twitter account Texans Cap says CBA allows the team to recoup 15% of the year's prorated signing bonus after missing 6 days of training camp. Can continue up to 25% and beyond 15% of $5.4 million. This is separate from the heavy fine schedule in place. So it can be both if they choose to do that. And they will choose to do both. Jeff made a point that I've been making too. You can't come in soft if you're the GM. You have to come in and you have to set a tone with your team and with other GMs around the league. And it was the exact opposite with O'Brien and Easterby. But Nick Caserio's been around. He worked under Bill Belichick. I mean, you're going to get a standard league response from Nick Caserio, but maybe even more hardcore, because his first order of business on the David Culley stuff was to let people know, well, we're not going to be pushed around. So Deshaun will be here. We're not going to trade him. I hope he at least keeps his ears open, but he may not. Let's get David in here. David's calling from Connecticut. What's going on, David? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm from Houston originally, but I live in Connecticut now. So I'm from the Heights. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, I think that the only way that I can really wrap my head around the current situation with Texans power dynamics is under the understanding that Cal McNair has to be a cuck who cleans and fluffs and Jack Easterby is his bull.
He does listen to the show.
Wow.
There's got to be footage of Easterby doing work.
Yes, you heard him. You heard him.
There's got to be footage of Easterby doing work with muffled coming from behind the camera.
Oh, no.
Then you hear a Southern drawl say, "Get over here and clean this, conductor."
Okay.
Next thing you know, the camera goes on the tripod.
Off, delete. Get over. That sounded way too specific.
Get over here, conductor.
When has that guy been on the hub?
Right after the Super Bowl.
I will say that the first guy who called in, and it was just an offhand comment, and he called Easterby, "I'm not even going to worry about Count Chocula over there." And if you look up Count Chocula and you compare Jack Easterby, obviously the Count has hair.
Right.
So that's a
huge difference. I didn't know what that was a reference. What was that in reference to?
They look very similar. If you put a side-by-side there.
It's not a compliment to Jack.
No.
It's called Count Chocula. I'm looking at imagery.
Let me look up Count Chocula.
Ooh, well, no, Count Chocula looks just like a witch.
Count Chocula from the cereal?
He's got a witch's nose.
Yeah, they both have weird faces.
It's not a compliment.
I don't remember Count Chocula's face now that I'm
It ain't great. Not if you're Jack.
No, that's not great. I thought you were going to tell me that was some Urban Dictionary phrase for, and you're going to get into this.
For something that he was doing with a bull.
Like that guy did. That guy went real. Did he say conductor?
He said, "Get over here, conductor, and clean this up."
Oh, God bless.
Oh, man. And on that note, what would you like to get your
that's
wife for
right
Valentine's
there.
Day?
Is my man, well, you know
we're
what?
We're going to talk to Mark Klein in a minute.
That's fine. We don't have to. I can tell you right now because I've been to Klein's. As a matter of fact, my wife's wedding ring is from Klein's Fine Jewelers. And that's something that I've known about for years. I got it years ago. We've been married for coming up on almost 20 years. And it's Valentine's Day. It's crunch. The crunch time is coming up. You got to get your girl something for Valentine's Day, your wife something for Valentine's Day. We know it's going to be held against you if you don't. So why don't you do the right thing, do the smart thing, and get something that's awesome. Klein's Jewelry has everything. They've got rings. They've got pendants. They've got bracelets. They've got earrings. And if you want them to make something, it's easy. They can do that as well. Diamond heart pendants, Valentine's Day bear, candy, card, scented candle, a dozen roses. That's their Valentine's Day basket that they can do, all for $449. Once again, diamond heart pendant, Valentine's Day bear, candy, card, scented candle, and a dozen roses. They can put it all together for you, or they can get something special just for you no matter what your budget is. Valentine's Day is a chance for you to knock it out of the ballpark with Klein's Fine Jeweler, whether it's for girlfriend, fiance, or your wife. This is a chance to do that. If you're a woman and you're doing this for your husband, I would just tell you maybe do a grill or something, but that's fine. Call Mark right now at 832-316-1388 or go to the website at KleinsJewelry.com.
ESPN 97.5.